Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
One of my favorite people that I've gotten to know just by interviewing folks on the radio is Joe Theismann. Legendary, legendary former player, MVP, Super Bowl champion, author, How to Be a Champion Every Day. This is a great book. You can get it wherever you get books. Find it, locate it. He's going to join us right now. Mr. Theismann, happy Friday. Happy 2021. How you doing, man?
Great, Bill. That's the first time you've called me Mr. Theismann. I am not that old, so let's just stay with Joe, okay?
You got it. You be Joe, I'll be Bill. So we
you be Bill. Yep. How are you? Good to catch up with you again.
You too. Good to hear your voice. All right, so let's I want to get to the Washington football team here in a second, but let's obviously some big games this weekend. And as I think about Josh Allen and the progress we've seen him make in a league, obviously, Joe, where finding, developing, creating, recruiting, whatever, getting your hands on a championship-level quarterback is so important. Any lessons that other teams can take from what the Bills saw in Josh Allen and have done with Josh Allen to get him to this point?
I think you have to I think there's things that you can learn from Josh Allen. Number one is if you put the right people around individuals, they have a chance to be successful. I think one of the more understated situations in Buffalo was the acquisition of Stephon Diggs. You look at what he has meant to that offense and Josh in particular. Of course, he's a big guy that can run. He's got a big arm, and he's learned to control his big arm a little bit more. Now, Tom Brady has a big arm, but Tom has great touch as well. And it's the same thing in Kansas City when you look at Tariq Hill. You know, those two guys, interestingly enough, go up against each other this weekend. And it's exciting because I think they are the difference makers in the games. But in Josh's case, you know, you knew he could throw the ball. He seemed a little wild coming out of Wyoming. They said, oh, well, the competition wasn't that great. I don't base it off of that. I think it all depends on the individual. If you're good at a certain level and you have the mechanics and the fundamentals to be able to go to the next level, you'll be fine. Matter of fact, the quarterback I like the most in this draft, to be honest with you, is Zach Wilson out of BYU. He's my favorite quarterback in this particular draft coming up. But in Josh's case, it takes time. And, Bill, nobody's willing to look at somebody and say, let's go through the process. Now, this year is an aberration because no training camps, no OTAs. Coaches haven't had a chance to be on the field with players to develop them. And I think that was critical for some guys in their growth. For Josh, he's been there long enough to be able to remember things, to process things, and to allow the team to be put together around him.
Joe Theismann here on the show. That Zach Wilson perspective is really interesting, Joe. Obviously, a lot of folks are enamored in the extreme, to say the least, with Trevor Lawrence. What is it about Trevor that you like less and or Zach that you like more?
They're neck and neck as far as I'm concerned. I think Trevor is a big kid, runs, you know, a little bit like a Josh Allen kind of guy. You know, can run the ball if you need to, which I don't recommend because everybody at this level, you know, you got 330 pounders who can run as fast as anybody, any running back. So to me, Zach, I watched him at Buffalo. I watched him at BYU. I watched him all year in particular. He caught my eye early on. And then I tried to watch as many BYU games as I could. He's got great touch on the ball. He's 6'3", so he's not a small guy, has great athleticism, and he can make all the throws. You know, we see Josh making throws, sidearm. Of course, Patrick's another one. Aaron can do it. I mean, everybody has the ability to be able to drop and lower their deliveries according to what they need to do. Tom's basically the same all the way across the board. But I just think he comes to me a bit more polished because of what he was able to do in college. And like I say, between Trevor and him, you know, you maybe could flip a coin. My personal choice is, from what I've seen, is I think Zach is ready to be like a Joe Burrow. I think he's ready to move to the next level and be able to do the things that they want out of that position. And this is something that people lose sight of a little bit too, Bill, is if you're drafting first, second, third normally, you probably need more than just a quarterback at that position for your football team to move forward. And I think in the case of the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, obviously Trevor is going to be, I think, a terrific choice for them. But you've got a coach who's never coached at the professional level. And, you know, Urban, I wish him all the luck in the world, but Urban had physical problems, or health issues, I guess you could say, at a couple of places in college. And if you think the stress is bad in college, holy mackerel, jack it up about 10 times at this level.
Joe Theismann here on the show. And Joe, I just got done saying this before you joined us, trying to predict how any head coach, right, that hasn't been a head coach in the NFL is going to do is like trying to predict how a quarterback's going to do. It is an imperfect science, to say the least. That said, I'm a skeptic of Urban Meyer's supposed absolute certain success at the NFL level. Do you have a sense just around the NFL what NFL people think about this move for Urban?
No, I really don't. I mean, I think there was a lot of conversation early on. Everybody sort of figured he would get the job, and it's turned out that way. He's had success where he's been. And I think a lot of it has to do with who he'll hire as his offensive and defensive coordinators. You know, the head coaching position really ought to be renamed head administrator. Now, in certain instances, like in Dallas, where Mike McCarthy calls, you know, probably has a tremendous amount of input and did. I remember Mike Holmgren up in Seattle, you know, they would call the plays. Andy calls the plays. But in most instances, the head coach turns that responsibility over to the coordinators, because truthfully, as a head coach in the National Football League, you wear a lot of different hats, whether it's personnel, whether it's public relations, whether it's counseling guys, so many different things that you can't be everything to everyone. And so to me, what I'm curious about is who Urban is going to hire on his staff. That will tell me whether or not I think he's going to have a chance at, you know, early success, or if it's going to be a bit of a time frame that he has to work in.
Joe Theismann here on the program, the author of How to Be a Champion Every Day. Joe, you saw up close a great, great collegiate coach in Steve Spurrier, obviously not, in his case, be able to translate that success at the NFL level. Any lessons from that little sliver of history that you think apply to Urban and really any other coaches who make that transition?
Well, you know, Cliff Kingsbury is, you know, over in Arizona, you know, he's got a quarterback that, you know, when Kyler came out, I said he should have stayed to baseball. I think he's, you know, certainly runs around a lot, but the more you run around, the more susceptible you become to injury. That offense, you know, it hasn't shown great success in the early stages of his career. If I was Urban, somebody that I would call would be Nick Saban, because Nick was in Miami. Now, we're talking about one of the greatest college coaches in the history of the game. Came to professional football and didn't necessarily have a degree of success. He would be the one that I would contact and sit down with and say, Nick, tell me what happened in Miami. Tell me what you thought happened. Tell me your approach to it. I would love to spend hours with Nick and just understand what he saw as a difference from the collegiate game to the professional game. And I think you really, because you don't have the answers. And it's one of the things really I talk about in the book and I talk about in my speeches is, you know, you have to know what you don't know and be able to seek people that have that knowledge and grow from it. Coaching is a collaboration. It's the head coach has a concept and a philosophy. Now, is he just going to load the staff with people that think exactly like him? Or is he going to find somebody that maybe a little bit different, maybe somebody that'll not give him pushback, but to present another idea? And so that, to me, is going to be very critical as Urban transitions into professional football.
Joe Theismann on the show. Joe, that is so interesting, the idea of know what you don't know. And obviously, in professional sports, at the quarterback position, what we see from the outside looking in, including with you, was a lot of confidence in guys who were successful and a lot of swagger, right? Like, that guy believed in himself. As a quarterback, and you've done this, you've been that guy, how do you go about being utterly confident, having that swagger, commanding a huddle, and still having the humility to, as you just said, know what you don't know and hear the right things and drown out the wrong things?
Well, Bill, you're kind, but I took the cockiness to another level. Okay, I mean, I'll be honest with you.
I loved it.
I bordered on arrogant, and you know, it's interesting. After we won the championship, I mean, think of the career I had. I played 12 years in the National Football League, and the fun part was my first 2 years, and of course, winning the Super Bowl. But I returned punts my first 2 years. I absolutely loved it. Loved that. Loved the ability. First of all, I did it in college. I did it in high school. And so it translated for me into professional football. But, you know, after we won the championship, you're a Super Bowl champ, you're an MVP of the league. You know, at one time in 84, I was the fourth highest paid player in the National Football League at $1 million a year. So go figure today. I didn't have enough money to buy part of a baseball team. That darn, you know, I just missed that window. But to me, you get humbled in different ways. I remember I had a conversation with Mike Tyson once, and Mike said, if you don't find humility, life will find humility for you. And when my leg got broken, everything I thought that was important to me was gone. The game was gone. The notoriety was, everything was gone. And I really had to start over as a person and rebuild myself as a person first if I ever wanted to have relationships or anything going forward. And so I think you have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? But then it's, you know, saying the right thing, acting the right way, carrying yourself the right way. I think when you come in with a lot of notoriety to a football team as a young quarterback, the most important thing you can do is listen, learn, and be quiet. So if you listen, you learn, and be quiet, you'll have a chance to earn the respect of everybody, the coaches, the front office staff, the players around you, by your performance. That's how we're ultimately judged in this game. Doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you think. The camera doesn't lie, television doesn't lie. People are going to see what and who you are. You know, you are exposed out there for 3 hours every week, and then they listen to your press conferences if you're willing to do them. I'm not a big fan of guys who play well and want to do press conferences and don't play well, and they go and, you know, stick their head in the sand and pout like little children.
Great stuff. Incredible insight from Joe Theismann here on the show. And Joe, obviously for people who don't master the humility thing early or the success thing early in the National Football League, especially the quarterback position, mistakes are public, and it is an interesting and perfect dovetail into Dwayne Haskins, who is obviously no longer a quarterback with the Washington Football Team. He is now a quarterback with the Steelers. You saw him up close to a degree in this weird past year that we've had. What is your confidence level that that young man in particular can find a way to take his talent and turn it into actual success?
Well, you know, Bill, I've said it time and time again about Dwayne. It's up to Dwayne. I mean, he certainly, you know, if you physically, he has the physical presence to be able to play the position. He throws the ball very hard all the time. And there's certain elements of his game that he's going to have to learn and develop. I think he's going to have to learn really to relax a little bit. When you see him on a football field, it's like somebody flipped up a, you know, you're running at mock speed all the time. He's going to have to learn to relax. He's going to have to work on his footwork. He's going to have to work on his touch. He's going to have to work on his technique. I mean, those are all things that you saw on film that he needs to focus on. And I'm excited for him to, first of all, he has an opportunity to be able to move forward with his career. The last thing he said when he left Washington was he realized that there were things that he did that didn't help him in his position. There are things that he needs to do to get better at his trade. And I was encouraged by him saying that. Many people around him had said, well, he needs to do this, he needs to do that. But unless you're willing to take a step back and be honest with yourself, and this just doesn't apply to sports. It applies everywhere. If you're willing to look at that person in the mirror and be honest with that person instead of trying to blow smoke in their ears and puff them up and say, oh, you're okay, you're terrific, you're wonderful, we're not. You know, we all have times when we're not that good. But it sounds to me like Dwayne realizes that he has a lot of growing to do. Now, in Pittsburgh, it may be a pretty good opportunity because Ben says he wants to come back for another year. And you know what's interesting, Bill? speaking of the Steelers, and that's sort of my assessment of Dwayne. But speaking of the Steelers, that shot of Ben sitting on the bench after that Cleveland game, just staring into space. And the first thing, two things jumped into my mind. Is he thinking about what happened in the game, or is he thinking about his future? You know, that would be one of those shots that you could freeze in time and put a caption beneath it, you know, where do I go from here? Because I think he's got to make that decision, and the Steelers have to make that decision as well.
Yeah, it's a big one. Joe Theismann here on the show. Joe, I'm so interested in this idea of culture and how those things get built, and it's not a sexy sports talk radio topic, but it's so important. You look at the Bills and what that coaching staff has done over the last few years. You look at the arrival of, you know, Bruce Arians, certainly, but also Tom Brady, and obviously he's a player as well, but a football team that is very different in terms of success than last year. I lived in Kansas City for a long time and wrote about that Chiefs team, and, you know, they were successful but couldn't win playoff games, and obviously Andy Reid has been able to certainly change that dynamic. They're in Washington with the Washington football team, and it's early, but Ron Rivera, man, I mean, such a well-respected guy, makes the playoffs, successful season. It's the beginning of a process, but it sure seems like another reminder that finding a coach that commands respect is important. What is it about Rivera or just the right coaches that can go into difficult situations and produce a different kind of football team because of their arrival?
Bill, you said something just a second ago that's so important, that commands respect as opposed to demands respect. You earn, as a coach, as a player, you earn respect from one another. You earn respect from the fans. And it's interesting, the teams that you mentioned, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Washington, they're all led, when you were in Kansas, they're all led by their defense. Now, you've got to have a quarterback. I mean, you have to have a quarterback. And Taylor Heineke did a fantastic job in that last game. I mean, you talked about toughness. The kid got, you know, I mean, his shoulder was screwed up. He came back out. He's familiar and comfortable with the system. And this is where I talk about a process. A process in our business is, first of all, you have to learn how to be a professional. Then you have to learn your trade. When I came into professional football, Teddy Marchibroda was my first coach. He handed me a reel. This was when, you know, long before, you know, young people are going to have to look this up and Google what a reel of film looked like, okay? So he handed me, it was the 11 defenses that were principally played in the National Football League. He said, I want you to study these defenses first before we talk about any offensive combinations. Anything we do offensively, I want you to understand what they're doing. So it's a process. For a coach, it's a process. You have to surround yourself with the right leadership if you're a coach. You have to find players that you believe want to play and commit themselves to the game. Now, you're always going to have, you know, the exceptions to the rule because you have so many people. I mean, you have 53 on an active roster. Then you add 10 at 63 for the practice squad. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of personalities. It could potentially be a lot of conflict in a locker room. So you need to be someone that they respect. That's the most important thing. Respect and be true to your word. Today is not a time and age where you can make exceptions for one person and then all of a sudden treat somebody else differently. Because the guys know what's going on. You're not hiding anything from the players. I don't care what locker room you're in, WNBA, NBA, baseball, football, basketball, it doesn't matter. The players know. They know what's going on. And to me, I think you're led by your defense. And so, again, you look at, you know, look it up at Buffalo. I think Buffalo's defense is unbelievable. Look what they did to Derrick Henry. I mean, there's a guy who was, you know, still running for records. Kansas City's defense, to me, is a little bit susceptible. Green Bay's defense is a little susceptible. Tampa and Buffalo probably have the two best defenses in the championship series coming up on Sunday. But you know, that's where you start. I think you start – this is with Washington. I mean, the success of the Washington football team basically went through their front four, all number one draft picks, or first-round draft picks, I should say. And now all of a sudden you start to put the pieces on the offensive side together. The defense can keep you in the games. Offenses have a chance to go out and win them for you. And heck, towards the end, one of those games, Washington never scored a touchdown on offense. They scored two on defense and won the game. So the culture starts with the personality of the coach. Then it starts with the leadership that he surrounds himself with that teaches the players. And that's the process that you go through.
Joe Theismann, as always, man. So good. Love having you on the show. Can't tell you how much we appreciate your time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and continued health and happiness in 2021, my friend.
Bill, I appreciate it. So great joining you again. I hope we don't take as long this time going forward. The other thing is, please, everybody stay safe. We're going to get through this. 21 is going to be an incredible year. We just have to do the smart thing and take care of ourselves.